You're listening to live pick-by-pick coverage of the 2018 NHL Draft. Brought to you by Tim Hortons Coffee, Canada's favorite cup. After Lord Stanley's Cup, of course. On TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca.
Just after 12 noon Central Time, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. 2018 Day 2 coverage of the NHL Draft. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you in studio. I got to tell you, it's a little bit cruel when you see on Twitter that Ryan O'Reilly has been acquired by the Detroit Red Wings, only to find out that the Detroit Red Wings have drafted a player named Ryan O'Reilly. So keep your powder dry, not the Buffalo Sabres centerman, just a draft pick going to Detroit by the name of Ryan O'Reilly. If you're just joining us, the Jets have made two selections in this draft. At number 60 overall in the second round, the Jets drafted centerman David Gustafsson. He's out of Sweden, HV71, regarded as a defensively responsible two-way centerman with untapped flashes of offensive upside. And then in the third round at number 91 overall from Cedar Rapids, the Rough Riders of Cedar Rapids in the United States Hockey League, Nathan Smith is drafted by the Jets. He's actually originally from Florida. So he went to play, he played high school hockey in Florida. This is his second time through the NHL draft. So the Jets drafted him out of Cedar Rapids of the USHL. The Jets with no fourth-round selections. They have two fifth-round selections, so it'll be a little bit of time now before the Jets draft again. So we'll spend this time, I should make mention before we get into it, that this segment is brought to you by Bernstein's Deli, official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey and home of the Illegal Curve Sandwich. I could really go for an Illegal Curve Sandwich right now, by the way. Located in the Cordon Village Mall, Bernstein's Deli has been Winnipeg's deli destination for over 30 years. For more information, find them on Facebook or at bernsteinsdeli.com. If you love Bernstein's as much as we do, show them some love. Leave them a five-star review on TripAdvisor. Share your Bernstein's Deli love with the public. NHL Awards happened earlier this week. It seems like it was months ago at this point in time. It's been a chaotic last 72 hours or so.
You know, Drew, just wanted to mention as well, we were talking about sons of former NHL players. Jake Pavonka, if you remember Michael Pavonka of the Washington Capitals, he just went 103rd overall to the New York Islanders. So another son of a former NHLer.
I'm going to put the award segment on ice for a couple minutes. Jet Wu was the first Winnipegger who was drafted in this 2018 NHL draft. We had him on the program with us about a month ago. He was drafted by the Vancouver Canucks. He joined Sakaris and Price just not that long ago. So here's Jet Wu from Winnipeg, drafted by the Vancouver Canucks, on with our sister station in Vancouver.
Here with Canucks second round draft pick Jet Wu, previously, or maybe currently, of the Moose Jaw Warriors, and Jet joins us tableside here in Dallas. Jet, congratulations. Did the moment happen just as you imagined it would?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I think everyone that goes through this, you know, this process, they say that there's no words. And, you know, to me, to actually feel that there's no words to really, you know, explain what happened, it was a really cool feeling. I'm really blessed to be here.
We're going to need a few words here over the next few minutes. Yeah. Doing fine so far. Tell me about this year, Jet, because, you know, looking at the prognostications last year, people thought you could be a first round, top half of the first round. I know there was a shoulder injury and some other elements that caught up to you. So take us through your season.
You know, going into the season, we knew we had a good team. And so from the team, you know, side of everything, you know, going and coming out on top and being the first place team, that was something that we were really proud of, and to bring that back to Moose Jaw was really huge for us, and we were really proud of that. And to, you know, go into the playoffs but losing, you know, in the second round like we did was pretty disappointing. But, you know, like you said, I had some injuries this year, but I feel that, you know, and when I was playing and when I was put in the positions that I was put in and given a role of responsibility, that I was able to do well in those situations that the team needed me in.
When did the shoulder injury take you out of the lineup?
I believe it was middle of November. We were playing against Regina.
Did it require surgery?
No surgery.
And have they told you should be as good as new going forward?
Yep.
Now, they had to make do without you. Did your role change when you came back from the injury a little bit?
Yeah, it was a little bit. I found myself coming back, not playing. To start off the year, we were missing actually a couple players as well. So at the beginning of the year, I was playing not everything, power play, penalty kill, starting a game, ending a game. Coming back from that injury and having everyone healed up, I kind of had to, show myself a bit more, improve myself, in practice and in the game. So I, had to start off, now playing power play, playing on the third D pair, a little bit of penalty kill every now and then. But, I was able to do the things my team needed me to do and what the coaches wanted me to do. So I think throughout the season I did that and being, going into the playoffs and, with the trust that I'd made with the team and coaches and being able to go back on those power play spots. And I feel that came from throughout the year and being able to progress to it.
You're being a little modest because you played on a defense corps with Cale Clegg, a first-round pick of the Los Angeles Kings, world junior guy, Josh Brook, last year a second-rounder for the Montreal Canadiens. So there was absolutely some depth of teammate there on the blue line in Moose Jaw.
Yeah, it was it's cool. I've played with Brooksy a couple times now, and we're really good buddies. And for us to for him to share his knowledge of the draft, and for both of us to kind of have this to our side, I think that's gonna just make us bond even more. And then to have Kale at the deadline and to have him as a D partner, for the rest of the year and in the playoffs is something really special to me. And to get to know him both on and off the ice is really cool.
Born in Winnipeg. What hospital?
We got a Winnipegger here, so.
Don't know it. It was only 18 years ago, Jay.
Yeah, no kidding. It's.
I can't remember things 18 years ago, but I have an excuse. I'm from Winnipeg, too. You are just a second Chinese descent player in the NHL. As you know, big Asian community in Vancouver. Yep. Does it kind of excite you? Does it dream that you could be a pretty big hero in Vancouver?
Yeah, no, it's exciting. And I didn't really realize, everything about, my culture, and hockey put together and until really the combine when I was asked a lot of questions about it. So to realize it there and to, share this moment with, with them and my family here and all the support that I've been getting, it's a really awesome feeling.
Well, let's talk about the hockey journey. Tell us a little bit about mom and dad and how you got involved in
the
sport.
My dad played hockey in the Western League for a couple of years. He finished off at the University of Manitoba as well. Both my parents very athletic and competitive, so I think that's where I get all of that from. And for them to sacrifice so much for me and like everyone says, but it truly is how much they sacrificed for me and how much they gave up and all the little things they did for me, it's something that I think throughout the years really helped me and to be at this point in my life and my career is something that was really awesome.
You think you'd look good alongside Quinn Hughes?
Yeah.
Defensive pairing?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I know him a little bit, and I think for him to have his moment and for us to share this moment together is pretty cool.
All kidding aside, you two would work well together. Your styles of play. I mean, you can push the game, but you can sit back and play some defensive hockey as well while he goes for a run.
For sure. And I played with Cale Clegg this year, and he was a little bit more, offensive. And, for me to be able to have that connection, almost like fit like a puzzle almost, on the blue line. I think if I ever play in the NHL, I know I have developing to do, and for me to get this chance, play with him one day, it would be pretty cool.
Thank you, young man. Congratulations. Very happy for you.
Thank
you
for having
me. Best to mom and dad and the family.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jeff.
That's Winnipeg's Jet Wu, a defenseman drafted by the Vancouver Canucks, on with our sister station in Vancouver, TSN 1040, thanks to Matt Sakaris and Blake Price for that audio. A good day so far for Winnipeggers. Riley Stotts gets drafted by the Toronto Maple Leafs, and Kalen Addison gets drafted by the Pittsburgh Penguins. So we've seen some Manitobans get their names called as this day has unfolded so far with round 2 through 7 of the NHL draft. In Dallas, the Jets, no selections in round 4. They're up later on in round 5 with 2 selections closely packed with one another. So we'll bring those to you coming up shortly. Just a quick recap again about the Jets selections so far. If you're just joining us, number 60 overall, the second round selection, was David Gustafsson, a centerman out of HV71 in Sweden. Consummate two-way centerman with untapped offensive upside. And then in the third round at number 91 overall, Nathan Smith, a centerman from the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders of the United States Hockey League, originally from Florida, flashed some offensive skill with the Rough Riders this year. So maybe another offensive untapped gem for the Winnipeg Jets in the third round with Nathan Smith.
Yeah, Drew, and going back to the Jet Wu interview, he obviously joins Winnipeg's Brendan Leipzig on the Canucks. And if you think about it, I mean, what better fit for a player like Jet Wu, right? You talk about the Canucks, they're obviously not going to be a Stanley Cup contender anytime soon, but when you look at the group of defensemen they have, sure, they've got guys like Alex Edler and Troy Stetcher and Derek Pouliot, and Jet Wu is a right-shot defenseman, and he's obviously not going to step into the NHL right now, but there's going to be a lot of opportunity for him going forward with that Canucks organization because it's a bit of an aging group of defensemen. They've got some young defensemen in the lineup right now, but there's definitely not going to be a shortage of opportunity for Jet Wu to make the NHL two or three years from now.
Absolutely. A pretty good landing spot for a guy who's looking to develop and break in and have an opportunity with the Vancouver Canucks. Ezzy, your boy, Taylor Hall, he wins the Hart Trophy. Are you surprised that it went Hall over MacKinnon? I was leaning towards Nathan MacKinnon personally. I mean, I know you're happy being a Devils fan.
Yeah, I think the Hart Trophy, Drew, was a complete coin flip. We talked about it all year long, right? You had Connor McDavid, Blake Wheeler. I mean, there were so many players that could have been nominated for the Hart Trophy. Maybe as many as 10 to 12 players nominated for the Hart Trophy, and Andrei Kopitar ends up third, and Nathan MacKinnon, as you mentioned, Drew, he's the runner-up. You could make a strong argument, and I know Brandon Ruwicki of The Big Show was pushing for Nathan MacKinnon to win the Hart Trophy, but how can you argue with the numbers, right? Taylor Hall, he leads the Devils in scoring by far. He has an absolute career year. The Devils go from one of the worst teams in the league to being a playoff team, even though it didn't last very long. They were defeated by the Lightning, obviously, in the first round there. So great to see Taylor Hall win the Hart Trophy, but I think there are a lot of Jets fans that would have argued that Blake Wheeler, at the very least, should have been a finalist.
Yeah. Dave, your thoughts on the Hart Trophy voting, on maybe the Vezina Trophy voting, Pekka Rinne, of course, beating out Connor Hellebuck, and even the general manager of the year, George McPhee, beating out Kevin Cheveldayoff.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets, it was somewhat, I wasn't surprised. I thought the Jets deserved to be in the running, but if, you know, at the end of the day, I wasn't. It wasn't unexpected, the end results. You know, then again, I think the reality is that most of these guys aren't super concerned about individual awards. I mean, sometimes there's bonus tied into it, to the wins, so there is a little bit of a financial incentive to get that. But at the end of the day, like, these guys want to win the collective cup, and they're not super concerned with that individual award.
Certainly not. Go ahead, Ezzy.
And at the end of the day, right, the Jets don't win any major hardware, but Connor Hellebuck is the runner-up for the Vezina Trophy, and Kevin Cheveldayoff is the runner-up for the Executive of the Year. So, I mean, I realize that a lot of Jets fans wanted trophies, right? They wanted Blake Wheeler to maybe win the Mark Messier Leadership Award, but he was one of the finalists. And Connor Hellebuck finishing second in Vezina Trophy voting, that's pretty damn good. He's the second-best goalie in the world. So even though he doesn't win the Vezina, and Kevin Cheveldayoff doesn't win the award, Paul Maurice doesn't win the Jack Adams, the Jets had a lot of nominees for these awards and a fantastic season.
We're pleased to be joined now by Nathan Smith. Nathan was the Winnipeg Jets' third-round selection at the 2018 NHL Draft. He's number 91 overall. He comes from the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders of the United States Hockey League. Nathan, congratulations, and welcome to the organization, a member of the Winnipeg Jets.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
I should make mention, first of all, Nathan, of course, my name is Drew Mindell. I'm joined in studio by Dave Minuk and Ezra Ginsberg. You're on TSN 1290 here in Winnipeg. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. My understanding is you're not in Dallas, so please tell us what you were doing when you found out that you were drafted by the Winnipeg Jets in the third round.
I was just sitting at home with my family and a couple friends over, just patiently waiting for my name to be called, and it just popped up on the screen. So it was a very exciting moment.
Nathan, how much do you know about the Jets organization, the city of Winnipeg, and do you have any connections to any members of the Jets organization?
Well, I don't know much about the city of Winnipeg, but I know, you know, the team is a great organization. I I watched them all this year and obviously previous years. You know, they made a good run this year. So I know they're a very good organization, and I can't wait to be there and play there one day.
So Nathan, what type of player, what player in the NHL do you model your game after?
I don't know. It's tough to say. I like to say Patrice Bergeron if I could get my D zone coverage better.
is that something you need to work on? I mean, you put up some pretty good offensive numbers with Cedar Rapids last year, 47 points in 51 games. Is the defensive area sort of your game still to be developed?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's always room for development everywhere. So, I mean, even, you know, putting up decent numbers like I did, I still like to improve offensive game as well. But right now, my biggest thing is defensive zone.
Nathan Smith is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Nathan was just drafted by the Winnipeg Jets in the third round, number 91 overall in the 2018 NHL Draft. Nathan, you know, this is your second time being eligible for the NHL Draft. You were passed over last year, but, you know, were you expecting to hear your name at this point in time in the third round, or were you just sort of sitting there sort of waiting without any expectations, really?
I mean, I'd been talking to Winnipeg for a while. It shows some good interest in me, but I didn't expect third round at all. I mean, it's like I said, it's a very exciting moment to hear my name called, especially just watching on the TV and it just pops up. So, yeah, it's unbelievable.
Nathan, you're committed to play for Minnesota State University. By the way, follow Nathan Smith on Twitter at SmithNate66. You're going to get a lot of Jets fans following you really soon, Nate. Why did you end up picking Minnesota State University not too far away from us here in Winnipeg, Manitoba?
Well, I was actually the first official visit I went on, and I mean, I was on it with my parents, actually. They were there with me, and you know, we talked together, and we couldn't figure out one bad thing about that, the whole campus and the facilities and all that, and the coaching staff and everything. You know, the coaching staff is amazing. They seem very helpful, and they care about the players, like, truthfully. So they, you know, they really want their players to succeed. And, I mean, that's like, what it's all about, so.
So, Nathan, maybe tell us a little bit about how you came to play hockey. I mean, we know you're born in Florida, and there's not a lot of guys who are coming out of Florida, but it's more and more guys are coming out from the southern United States. So what was your journey to hockey?
Well, I had an old friend who back in my old house, he played street hockey. So we would hang out outside, and I would play hockey with him, you know, out front of his house. And he played roller hockey. And so one day I went with my dad to watch one of his games, and I liked it. So I just told my dad I wanted to try it. And, you know, there we went off to play against sports and got me some gear. And I, you know, I got on my roller skates. I played roller, started when I was 6, and I didn't get on ice skates until I was 11. So I played roller for 5 years until I started playing ice hockey. And ever since then, I still play roller a few times during the summer. So ice hockey is not the only thing I play, but roller hockey was my main thing growing up.
And so Nathan, you went from the Florida High School League to the USHL. How did you find that jump?
Well, the Florida High School Hockey League was a lot of fun. I enjoyed playing that with my friends and stuff. And, but the USHL is obviously a lot faster. The skill level is a lot better. Florida High School Hockey is just, you know, it's Florida. Not many kids play hockey in Florida and stuff like that. So it's a growing sport here in Florida, though, which is a good thing. You know, the high school hockey is ran by the Lightning, and they do a really good job over there. So it was fun, though.
Nathan Smith is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Nathan was the Jets' third-round selection, number 91 overall, at the 2018 NHL Draft in Dallas. Nathan, we talked about your offensive skills, 47 points in 51 games. That's pretty impressive. 84 penalty minutes as well in those 51 games. You play with a bit of an edge. Is that sort of one of the key features you have in your game, sort of playing with a little bit of truculence, as Brian Burke would like to say?
Yeah, I think I could agree with that. You know, of course, there's not the smartest penalties on some of them, but, you know, that's something I got to work on. And, believe it or not, 84 penalty minutes and none of them were a fight. So,
so a few minor penalties racked up there.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Nathan, do you know Jacob Chychrun, who's also from your home state of Florida, drafted by the Coyotes back in 2016?
I'm familiar with him, but I never played against him. I've watched him a few times. I know he's a great player and stuff like that. So I've watched him a couple years he's been in the NHL now. He seems to be doing pretty well, too.
How have you seen hockey grow in Florida at the junior and minor league level?
I mean, like I said, the high school hockey is ran by the Lightning. I think they do a great job promoting hockey as a sport in general. I mean, they supply like gear and everything like that for, you know, unfortunate families or people who just, you know, don't know much about hockey, but they want to get into it. They like the game. So I think they do a tremendous job of promoting the sport. Also, just like organizations I've known and played against throughout my youth hockey career, you know, they're growing as well. So it's good to see the sport growing here in Florida, especially Florida.
No, Nathan, I was reading a report about you on in the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and your coach had a lot of complimentary things to say. What have you learned from Coach Carlson in Cedar Rapids?
Well, I love him as a coach. He's a very hard coach to play for some people, but I mean, like me, I like being coached hard like that. It pushes me every day to be better and better. And, you know, that's obviously everybody's goal is to get better each day. So with him pushing, you know, he pushes everybody, not just me, but with him pushing me as hard as he does, you know, I'm only going to get better. And, you know, he strives to make people better people on and off the ice as well. So.
Nathan Smith is the Winnipeg Jets' third-round selection in the 2018 NHL Draft. The Jets take him 91st overall. Nathan, again, congratulations. Welcome to the Winnipeg Jets organization, and hopefully we'll be seeing you here in Winnipeg sooner rather than later, or just down the road at Minnesota State where you're going to play your college hockey. Congratulations again, Nathan.
Thank you guys so much.
Take care, Nathan. Let's head to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Much more draft coverage to come on TSN Radio 1290.
You're listening to live pick-by-pick coverage of the 2018 NHL Draft. Brought to you by Tim Hortons Coffee, Canada's favorite cup. After Lord Stanley's Cup, of course. On TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca.
Bottom of the hour, Saturday afternoon, you're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
Blade Jenkins is off the board, Drew.
Blade Jenkins, he wasn't drafted by the Jets, but when you have a first name named Blade, he was taken by the Islanders, you're going to get a shout-out here on air. Yes, David?
I have to say, I love our ominous music. Like, it's like we come in and it's like, what is, something is about to happen.
Well, we're an ominous type of show.
I was going to say, maybe people are, you know, this might be hazardous to people's health to listen to us, so the ominous music is quite apropos. As we mentioned, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This segment is brought to you by our good friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For over 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. Just announced earlier this week, one night only, Ron Jeremy, pornographic actor extraordinaire, is coming to Rumors on Sunday night, August 12th.
It's not going to be a pornographic night, is it?
It's not going to be a pornographic night, but that's where people most well know him from. I guess he's mainstream now. I think he has a rum as well. Like he has a Ron Jeremy liquor brand or something. Anyways, he's had rumors for one night only, Sunday night, August 12th. Tickets available right now, rumorscomedyclub.com.
You used to be called Tuxedos Ron Jeremy, so.
Only because of the mustache, let me assure you. That was it. That was the only reason why that was my name on occasion. We're into the fifth round of the NHL draft. The Jets are going to select twice this round, 150 and 153. They're about 11 or so picks away from getting on the board again. They had no fourth round selection. The round two selection, of course, was David Gustafsson out of Sweden, and the round three selection was Nathan Smith.
Where are all the trades?
There aren't any. It really makes for a difficult radio show, let me tell you. There aren't any trades. I was counting on some of the names, at least one of the names. It's never as exciting as they make it out to be in the lead up to it.
That Philip Grubauer, Brooks Orpik trade seems like it was 3 days ago.
Brooks Orpik, you mentioned it. He's on waivers because he's going to get bought out. Expectation is that he obviously won't play for the Colorado Avalanche. Some thought that he might return to the Washington Capitals. He was acquired by the Avalanche, but they made it clear from the start that he was going to be a buyout candidate. So Brooks Orpik won't play for the Avalanche. Philip Grubauer will. John Tavares, he's, of course, the big-name free agent, has announced that he's going to take five meetings with various NHL teams starting tomorrow when the interview window opens.
Yeah, two teams have already been confirmed, San Jose and Toronto.
There you go. So there will be five teams that will interview with John Tavares.
I imagine Dallas is going to be one of them.
You would think Dallas is up there. Montreal had been rumored to be there, but I'd be surprised if Montreal was one of the finalists for John Tavares.
Well, I'm sure it won't be turning into a crazy show when he shows up in Toronto.
No, I'm sure not. The Toronto media will handle that with the aplomb and the dignity that they're used to demonstrating when it comes to the Toronto Maple Leafs and anything the least bit newsworthy about the Leafs. So that will, of course, take place. John Tavares. The expectation still, though, is that he returns to the New York Islanders. He's got nothing to lose by... taking these meetings with the five teams, and then he'll find out, obviously, before July 1st or as of July 1st, if he chooses to return to the Islanders or go to a different team altogether.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see who the other teams are, because it was reported earlier today that St. Louis and the New York Rangers are not among those five teams. So we already mentioned the San Jose Sharks and the Toronto Maple Leafs. I agree with you, Drew. I would be shocked if Montreal isn't one of those teams. As far as the two other teams, I mean, is L.A. one of those teams? They've already made a splash with signing Ilya Kovalchuk. Yeah. If they can land John Tavares as their second-line center behind Andrei Kopitar, wow.
Changes the entire dynamic. I mean, that basically... Well, they move from a... Yeah, I mean, you look at them. What are their biggest weaknesses? They still have Jonathan Quick in goal. They still have Drew Doughty on the back end. And then if you can get Tavares and Kopitar up the middle, that dynamic doesn't even... barely even begins to describe an LA Kings team like that. If you missed it, the Kings, they announced that they won... I guess it's not really a sweepstakes, but they won the Ilya Kovalchuk raffle.
At this point.
It's a raffle. It's not a sweepstakes. They are going to sign him on July 1st. They can't do it before that. They're going to sign Ilya Kovalchuk to a three-year contract worth $6.25 million per season.
And we should mention, you know, when you're talking about the Kings, I mean, Jeff Carter is still your de facto second-line center, but, you know, Jeff Carter's 33 years old. I mean, ideally, he's your third-line center, and if you're able to acquire John Tavares, I think Jeff Carter would be fine playing the third-line center role.
I would think so. I mean, if you go up the middle with Kopitar, Tavares, and Jeff Carter...
It's the best top three centers in the league, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who... I mean, it's certainly better than... I mean, Pittsburgh, you can say, but I mean, Brassard, it depends on what kind of bounce-back season he has after a horrendous playoffs.
Well, could Pittsburgh be one of those five teams? I mean, could you have Malkin, Crosby, and Tavares up the middle?
That shouldn't be allowed. Okay, Bob McKenzie reporting a trade is taking place. Calgary and Carolina making a trade.
Thank God. Two teams
very familiar with one another. Elias Lindholm is involved in that trade.
Elias Lindholm, by the way, Drew, was negotiating with Don Waddell and Rick Dudley, and apparently those talks did not go well, so that's probably why he's about to be traded.
He's a restricted free agent, so we know that that's the first big move of the day. Don't have the particulars just yet, but we know that Elias Lindholm is, looks like, according to TSN's Bob McKenzie, is going to go from the Carolina Hurricanes to the Calgary Flames. I'll tell you what, let's go to break. We're going to come back. We'll hopefully have the details of that trade. We got a couple Jets selections coming up, and we have Evan Sporer of the Sporting News going to join us as well. Things are getting heated here in the later stages of day two of the NHL draft. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
You're listening to live pick-by-pick coverage of the 2018 NHL Draft. Brought to you by Tim Hortons Coffee, Canada's favorite cup. After Lord Stanley's Cup, of course. On TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca.
Saturday afternoon, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Coverage of day two of the NHL Draft. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you in studio. It's taken a while. Things are beginning to heat up in Dallas. So we have a trade. We don't have the official participants of the trade, but we know that defenseman Noah Hanifin and center Elias Lindholm are going to the Calgary Flames.
And it looks like Dougie Hamilton is going the other way.
Yes, Dougie Hamilton will be going to Carolina. Presumably there are more pieces involved in the trade, but it has not yet been officially announced. So again, Elias Lindholm, who's a restricted free agent, negotiations hadn't been going well with the Carolina Hurricanes. He and Noah Hanifin are on their way to the Calgary Flames. Dougie Hamilton is on his way to the Carolina Hurricanes. Don't yet know any of the other pieces, any of the other parts of that trade have not yet been announced. We'll bring them to you just as soon as we can. We have a Winnipeg Jets draft pick in the fifth round at number 150 overall. The Jets have selected Declan Chisholm out of the Peterborough Petes of the Ontario Hockey League. He's a 6-foot-tall, 185-pound defenseman. So the Jets have, at pick 150, have drafted Declan Chisholm out of Peterborough of the West of the Ontario Hockey League.
Declan, great Irish name.
It is a quality name, Declan Chisholm. Right there, he's a left-shooting defenseman, around 6 feet, 180, according to Future Considerations. He's a two-way puck-moving rear guard. He owns a great backward crossover, silky smooth and quick. So that's who the Jets drafted at 150. They have another pick coming up momentarily at 153. We will provide you some more information on both of those players.
That was part of the Drew Stafford trade.
That's right. They get him from Dallas in the Drew Stafford.
Devils.
Boston. In the Drew Stafford trade.
He was on New Jersey recently.
Yes. Yeah. It looks like Dougie Hamilton, Michael Ferland, and Adam Fox are going to Carolina.
Ferland, another Manitoba boy.
Dougie Hamilton, Adam Fox was a third-round selection, I believe, of the Calgary Flames a couple of years ago. So that's a big trade taking place between the Calgary Flames and the Carolina Hurricanes.
That's a huge trade.
We'll bring you all the details, more details about the Jets draft pick as well. Declan Chisholm going to the Jets at number 150. Overall, I believe we have Evan Sporer on the line. Let's go to the Hockey Show Hotline. Chris Curry, you got it ready there? Attaboy.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
From Sporting News from TheAthletic.com, we're pleased to be joined by Evan Sporer. Evan, it took a while, but we finally have a significant trade to announce during this NHL draft weekend. Your immediate thoughts, I know it's putting you a little bit on the spot, but your immediate thoughts on the big trade between the Carolina Hurricanes and the Calgary Flames?
Oh, man, it's like what you said. You know, we're waiting, and then Calgary and Carolina come in, and they say, you know, thanks for waiting, because here we go. Starting off with a bang. I'm a huge Dougie Hamilton fan, and I'm actually very familiar with Adam Fox, and I think he's a great prospect too. There are a lot of pieces to like in this trade, a lot of very talented guys. Dougie Hamilton being on his third team now, it's kind of interesting. You know, just he's been in Calgary, and, you know, I think I saw someone tweet the other day that they're just not happy with how he's produced, but, like, you know, I was looking at it, and 17th among defensemen in points since he's come to Calgary. His underlying numbers are fantastic. I mean, that's the kind of thing. Carolina has a great analytics department. They can identify that kind of stuff.
So I really like him going there. I mean, Noah Hanifin I'm a fan of too. And Elias Lindholm, you're talking about a former number five pick. So these are not trades you see very often in terms of the caliber of players that are being moved. But, I mean, man, like you said, we waited, and here it is. So let's go.
Evan, I know this trade literally just happened, but right now, does this look like Calgary might have a steal? Elias Lindholm and Noah Hanifin, they're both fifth overall picks. Now, essentially, Lindholm becomes the Calgary Flames' second-line center behind Sean Monahan.
Yeah, you would think, and that's, I mean, I guess it kind of depends if the Flames want to break up that second line that was so good this season. I mean, Lindholm probably gives you a little bit more scoring there, so maybe it's safe to pencil him in. And Adam Fox isn't there yet, and you know Calgary has a lot of defensemen. We'll see if they keep Hamonic, but, you know, you kind of know who their top four is with Hanifin coming back. But, yeah, I mean, they definitely got some good players. And like I said, I'm a big Noah Hanifin fan. I mean, I think he can really fit in well. I'm interested to see if they play him with Brody and maybe try to re-energize him in that way. But it's one of those, like you said, it's tough to judge at first blush. And, I mean, it's crazy to see this type of talent in a trade. Lindholm, it had been reported they couldn't come to terms on a deal, and maybe this is the type of thing where, like, a new scene for him can help him out a little bit. And, yeah, I mean, you put him with a Matthew Tkachuk, and maybe that can just, you know, light a fire under him and get him going. So I'm still kind of just taken aback at some of these names, but certainly shakes things up for Calgary after a season. They're pretty disappointed they didn't make the postseason. So, you know, we'll see if this ends up making them a better team.
You know, Evan, we know that the Carolina Hurricanes need a number one goaltender, so is it pretty safe to say that Don Waddell and Rick Dudley aren't done here?
Yeah, you would think the goaltending position has really hurt them the past few seasons. That, and they haven't really had, I don't want to say high-end talent, because like a guy like Jeff Skinner is great, but they've shot at a very low shooting percentage in the past. You look at those two things, and it's really tough to win games and get to the playoffs if you don't get saves and you don't score at, you know, like a league average or maybe a little bit above in terms of shooting percentage. The goaltending, though, specifically has, like, really been an issue. Cam Ward obviously is not the goaltender he once was. Eddie Lack, that really hasn't worked out for them in a way they hoped it would. So, yeah, I mean, you would think, you know, maybe they can call up Ottawa and try to do something with Craig Anderson. You know, he's on the market. Obviously, Grubauer is gone now. Goaltending usually can be found on the trade market. So, yeah, and you know, you mentioned Waddell and those guys, and looks like they kind of want to make a splash with the new regime. So, you know, Carolina didn't really finish that far off eighth. They just kind of got a late start last season. So, you know, we'll see. Yeah, I think it would make sense for them to go out and try to address that as an area of need.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290. Our guest is Evan Sporer of Sporting News Canada and TheAthletic.com. Evan, obviously that was the big trade. Let's go back to last night, the first round of the NHL draft. Philip Zadina drops all the way to number six overall to the Detroit Red Wings. How surprised were you to see him fall as far as he did, given that for most people he was sort of the consensus number three, number four overall prospect in the draft entering last night?
I was certainly surprised. The one thing that, like you said, I thought he was going to go third. He's a great scorer. I love his attitude. Like, some people are going to be like, oh, he's a little cocky, but, like, that's great. Like, you know, be confident in yourself. It's great to see him have a little bit of a personality. But we knew the top two picks, right? Like, we knew Darlene, we knew Svechnikov, and then we kind of assumed Zadina. But really, like, that 2-9, 2-10 range, it was kind of open. So to see him fall where he did, I certainly was surprised. But that was kind of the theme of the first round, was, like, you know, teams obviously evaluated different players in different lights and just had guys ranked, you know, in different spots on their boards. And then I mean, this gets kind of back to the guy he is, that he says in his post-draft scrum, like, yeah, I'm going to make these teams regret it. Like, I'm going to fill their net up with pucks. Like, that's awesome. I mean, here's a kid who just, he wants to come in, he wants to dominate and play with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. So, yeah, I mean, I was certainly surprised. I think in terms of what Ottawa and Montreal need, I think he would have fit those needs as bringing in a little bit of a dynamic, maybe elite, eventually talent. But clearly they went in a different direction, and so did Arizona, and now he's in Detroit, and I'm sure Detroit is thrilled to have him.
Evan, what do you think of what the Minnesota Wild have done this weekend? You, of course, used to work for the Minnesota Wild. For those who don't know, they drafted defenseman Filip Johansson, 24th overall in the first round, but we've heard rumblings that players like Charlie Coyle, Nino Niederreiter, Tyler Ennis might be on the move. So what do you think of their first-round pick, and what do you think of maybe the inactivity as far as the player movement goes this weekend?
Yeah, it kind of seems, I mean, that's another team. We were just talking about Carolina and their GM, and you have Paul Fenton coming in there. And you, when you get a new GM, obviously he's going to evaluate all the assets and make decisions and, of course, talk to the guys who have been on the ground. But those are some of those guys you named, Zucker, Coyle, Niederreiter. Those guys have always kind of been good players. You know, Zucker had a great season this past year on a very nice contract, so that's a very movable deal. But when you're talking about guys who could be traded, you know, from that team, it's not going to be Zach Parise. It's not going to be Ryan Suter. It's not going to be Mikko Koivu with the older guys with the bigger contract. So, you know, in terms of feasibility, those are the guys that it makes sense to move in terms of what teams would be looking for. Now, does it make sense for Minnesota to move them? If they're looking to shake things up, sure. And you mentioned the defenseman they drafted. Obviously, that was an off-the-board pick in terms of where most teams projected him to be. I mean, I saw some teams had him in the third round, and there was a comment on the broadcast today made that there was a player picked in the first round who one team had scouted for the seventh, and I have a hunch it was him. You know, they trust their European scouts a lot. They got a kid a few years back, Dmitry Sokolov, who is still, I believe, in the OHL and was one of those guys who kind of just dropped off due to injury, and it seems like he could be a solid NHL player if he ends up, you know, staying healthy. But yeah, I mean, it was certainly a surprising pick, and I guess they're one of those teams to watch just based on the chatter around them. And, you know, if they want to make a change after just making the postseason all these years but not really making a deep run, you know, a new GM coming in, it could be the time to do it.
Evan Spohr of Sporting News Canada and TheAthletic.com is our guest on the program. Just want to make note that the Jets have drafted another player in the fifth round, Giovanni Velotti, out of the Kitchener Rangers of the Ontario Hockey League. A defenseman is now a member of the Winnipeg Jets organization. Much more to come on that selection. Where, as I mentioned, Evan Spohr of TheAthletic.com and Sporting News Canada joins us. Evan, speaking about defensemen, we know that after Rasmus Dahlin, it was sort of beauty is in the eye of the beholder regarding those defensemen that were taken from 7th overall all the way to 12th overall. Did you have a preference between Hughes, Boakvist, Bouchard, and Dobson?
Yes, Quinn Hughes. I'm a very, very big Quinn Hughes fan. I wrote a story about Quinn Hughes a few weeks ago, and I spoke to his USA National Development Team coach. And the one thing that really strikes me about Quinn Hughes, and I think the one thing that's going to just immediately jump out to people when they watch him, is how he plays the position of defense. He's so mobile. He's so active, almost like a position fluid type player where sometimes you see him and you're like, is he a forward? Because he's just always up in the play. And I think some teams were a little nervous about the size factor, which is it's starting to erode in terms of the way people evaluate talent as seeing, you know, he's 5'10", well, can he defend? It's like, well, yeah, watch him play. He can really defend. He has no issues with his defending in the defensive zone. So I think Vancouver got a steal there. I know some people had him as the second best player in the draft. You didn't hear that incorrectly. Some people had him as number two on a big board, not necessarily a mock draft, but just in terms of raw talent. So I thought behind Dahlin, he was the guy, and I thought Ottawa might take him at 4, just because you have obviously the situation with Erik Karlsson where he, you know, he could be on the move, and maybe you want to get a new cornerstone defenseman, and maybe Hughes fits that bill. So, you know, I was a really big fan of Hughes. I think those are three really good players you just mentioned, but I kind of had him a little bit ahead of the pack.
Evan, you live in Brooklyn, New York, so we have to ask you about John Tavares. Are you leaning towards Tavares staying with the Islanders, or are you leaning towards Tavares signing with another team come July 1st?
You know, it's interesting because I was of the opinion that if he made it to this negotiating window, which is now being reported and his agent has confirmed that he will sit down and speak to teams, and it sounds like it's going to be 5 teams. I thought if he got there, he was gone, just because it's like, you know, someone described it to me recently. I was speaking to someone about when Stamkos was up, and they kind of said, like, it's one of those things where, you know, you would never cheat on your girlfriend until you start to flirt, and then the idea is in your head, and all of a sudden it's like, well, I'm going to cheat. And that's, I mean, well, if you think about it, it's like Tavares, he was drafted by the Islanders, I want to say in 09, and has only been there his entire career and is only known that way and is going to sit down with these teams and they're going to pitch the world to him and really just, you know, kind of maybe open up his brain to different things. So, you know, but then I saw Arthur Staple, who writes for The Athletic, tweet that, you know, a lot of people are still of the opinion that he'll still resign, and Arthur's more plugged into that team than anyone. But there's just something about getting to that period where you can sit down with other teams and their executives and maybe some of the star players. And, you know, we still have a lot to learn about what's going to happen with the Islanders. Like, they have a new management team, but, you know, it's all about the personnel and who's on the roster. And that remains to be seen. So he's got a very big decision to make, and he's now going to have five teams explain to him why he should leave, and we'll see if any of them are persuasive enough.
Evan Spohr covers the NHL for Sporting News Canada and TheAthletic.com. Evan, thanks for joining us this afternoon. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Take care, Evan. Before we go to break, a quick recap of as to what's happened for the Winnipeg Jets in this fifth round at the 150th pick in the 2018 NHL Draft. The Jets have taken Declan Chisholm, a 6-foot, 185-pound defenseman from Peterborough of the Ontario Hockey League. Three picks later, at number 153, the Jets go back to the Ontario Hockey League. They take a teammate of Logan Stanley's. They take Giovanni Velotti, a 6-foot-1, 184-pound defenseman for the Kitchener Rangers. So the Jets, two picks in the fifth round, Declan Chisholm, Giovanni Velotti, those are the two selections. They are also earlier in the draft, took David Gustafson in the second round at number 60 overall, and Nathan Smith in the third round at number 91 overall. Much more to come. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Our coverage of the 2018 NHL Draft continues on TSN Radio 1290.
You're listening to live pick-by-pick coverage of the 2018 NHL Draft. Brought to you by Tim Hortons Coffee, Canada's favorite cup. After Lord Stanley's Cup, of course. On TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you in studio shortly after 1 o'clock in the afternoon on this Saturday afternoon. We continue our coverage of the 2018 NHL Draft. We're pleased to welcome to the program the Winnipeg Jets' fifth-round selection, number 150 overall. He's a defenseman from the Peterborough Petes of the Ontario Hockey League. Declan Chisholm, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, and congratulations on being drafted by the Winnipeg Jets.
Hi, thank you very much. I'm super excited.
That's I would hope you would be. It's certainly quite an accomplishment hearing your name. What was it like? You're in Dallas. You were around your family. I heard that a roar went up when your name was announced. Take us through that moment. Take us through the emotions you were feeling hearing your name drafted in the 2018 NHL Draft.
Well, first off, we were super nervous. No one knew what was going to happen. We heard my name. Whole family just went crazy. Just a ton of emotions. I was almost speechless. I wanted to cry, but super excited and just want to get things going.
That's awesome, Declan. Tell us about your game. How would you describe yourself as a hockey player?
I'd say I'm a two-way defenseman who's really elusive on the ice, smooth skater, and has the ability to move the puck well and create offense.
You know, Declan, did you have any idea, did you have any substantial conversations that the Winnipeg Jets were going to be the team that drafted you?
No idea whatsoever. I don't even think I talked to them throughout the season. It was a total surprise, and couldn't be happier.
Declan Chisholm is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. He was just drafted by the Winnipeg Jets in the fifth round of the 2018 NHL Draft, 150th overall. You know, Declan, you know, you talked about, you know, the type of game you play. Is there a player in particular that you model your game after, somebody who you watch or have watched and say, that's who I want my game to resemble?
I think Travis Dermott on the Leafs is really similar to my type of game. He's a smooth skating guy who creates offense, reliable in the D zone, and is really elusive out there.
Declan, did you bring your skates to Dallas? Because Winnipeg Jets development camp is next week. It's not going to be much of a turnaround time from the draft.
No, I did not. So we're going to have to figure out some flight arrangements for those.
Now, Declan, what did you get any sort of advice going into the draft from friends who have been drafted already?
Just to stay calm, have no expectations, and to take it all in. And when your name gets called, be very thankful and make sure to show appreciation for everyone that's helped you get here.
Declan Chisholm is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. He was just taken in the fifth round, 150th overall by the Winnipeg Jets at the 2018 NHL Draft in Dallas. You know, Declan, you know, the Peterborough Petes had a bit of an up and down season. You know, the head coach was relieved of his duties midway through the season. What was it like playing with Peterborough this season?
It was definitely a roller coaster. Really, we struggled on the road. I had a few injuries, but I think next year is going to be a huge turnaround. New culture in the room. We added a few new staff members, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, Declan, the summer just started, but what are you hoping to work on and improve on this summer leading up to next year with the Peterborough Petes?
Definitely my strength and my shot. I want to be a guy that's leading the team towards playoffs and hopefully the finals and Men Cup, and I want to have a huge impact and really work on my consistency throughout the year.
So, Declan, you're coming to Winnipeg. What do you know about the city? Do you know any players that currently play for the organization?
I do not, but a few do train at the place at Gary Roberts where I train in the summer, like Tanev and Shifley, and I look up to those guys all summer, so pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Declan Chisholm is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the Jets' fifth-round selection, number 150 overall. Declan, nobody makes it to the NHL draft or hearing their name announced at the NHL draft without a lot of assistance from family, from friends, you know, a great support team around you. Who jumps to mind as being, you know, being instrumental in your development to this point?
Definitely my parents. They've helped me through hockey my entire life. They've kept me focused. They've had my back through everything, and they've supported me through everything. And I think everyone in my family has done that, and they're truly a special family to have.
So, Declan, what's the rest of the weekend going to be like for you there in Dallas with you and your family? I imagine you guys are going to be having a nice little celebration tonight.
Yeah, I think we're going to go for dinner, have a nice celebration there, and I hear development camp kicks off tomorrow, so I think I'm flying straight to Winnipeg.
No rest for the wicked, right, Declan?
Yeah, exactly.
So, Declan, you know, knowing that it was your draft year, how hard was it considering the injury trouble you had this season?
It was definitely stressful. The long injury I had there with the high ankle sprain took a long time to recover from, but coming back from it, I was super confident and ready to go, and I think my game took off.
Declan Chisholm was drafted by the Winnipeg Jets in the fifth round, 150th overall. Declan, congratulations again. Enjoy the moment. Enjoy the celebration with your family. And obviously we'll see you in Winnipeg sooner rather than later. Congratulations again, and thanks for joining us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN Radio.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Take care, Declan. Thanks again.
You too. Thank you.
Jets had another fifth-round selection that was at number 153 overall. Giovanni Velotti of the Kitchener Rangers was the Jets' selection in the fifth round, 153rd overall. Hopefully try and bring him to you on the program.
I thought Declan was just going to hand him the phone.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Giovanni's actually in Dallas or not. I haven't seen any reports to that effect yet. Jets have two selections remaining, barring any trades. That'll come at 184th overall in the sixth round, and then again at 215th in the seventh round.
Yeah, and we're not going to have to ask Giovanni Velotti if he knows any members of the Winnipeg Jets organization because he just recently played with Logan Stanley in Kitchener.
Absolutely. So he's got the familiarity.
I'm still going to ask the question, though.
You're still going to ask him ask the question nonetheless? Okay, that's fair enough. I believe we now have the official word on the trade that took place earlier today between the Carolina Hurricanes and the Calgary Flames. Michael Ferland, Adam Fox, and Dougie Hamilton going to Carolina. Noah Hanifin and Elias Lindholm going to the Calgary Flames. Ezzy, your thoughts at first glance about this trade for both the Flames and the Carolina Hurricanes?
Adam Fox is an interesting inclusion in this trade, Dave. He's a third-round pick back in 2016. We were at that draft in Buffalo. He's played the last couple of years for Harvard University, and you would expect that he's probably going to play one more year. He might end up signing, and maybe he turns pro for next year, but Adam Fox is not just a throw-in. He's a defensive prospect that the Carolina Hurricanes obviously coveted. But, you know, you think about Dougie Hamilton. He's a right-shot defenseman. Noah Hanifin is a left-shot defenseman. Now your top two left-shot defensemen in Calgary are Mark Giordano and Noah Hanifin. So first glance, it looks like the Calgary Flames have won this trade. But Michael Ferland, he's coming off of a career year. And obviously Dougie Hamilton can be, you know, a top pairing or second pairing defenseman for the Calgary Flames. So right now, you know, it's hard to dissect it. It just happened about 30 minutes ago, but that's a huge one.
We have Giovanni Velotti on the line. He was the Jets' other fifth-round pick, taken at 153rd overall out of the Kitchener Rangers of the Ontario Hockey League. Giovanni, you are on with Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg. We are the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN Radio 1290. Congratulations and welcome to the Winnipeg Jets organization.
Thank you.
Giovanni, you know, what was it like hearing your name or seeing your name get announced as being a member of the Winnipeg Jets and the thrill, presumably, that you and your family felt with the announcement?
It's definitely exciting. You work for it your whole life, so for it to finally come true, it's definitely a dream come true for me.
So, Giovanni, tell us about your game. You obviously have got some good size and you've got some scoring touch. How would you describe yourself if you could, you know, maybe write your own scouting report? What would it look like?
I'd say probably a two-way defenseman. I'd say I like jump up into the play, but also play good in my defensive zone and make a good first pass out of the zone.
So, Giovanni, what NHL player do you model your game after?
I'd say a guy like TJ Brody from Calgary. I really like the way he plays, like, pretty much the same way I play, so enjoy watching him.
Giovanni Velotti is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. He was just drafted in the fifth round by the Winnipeg Jets, 153rd overall. Giovanni, you play, of course, for the Kitchener Rangers. Another member of the Kitchener Rangers is Logan Stanley, who, of course, was a Winnipeg Jets first-round pick a few years ago. You know, what are your interactions with Logan Stanley like? Obviously, there's some familiarity there, and that'll probably help ease the transition as you become a member of the Winnipeg Jets organization.
Yeah, definitely. We're deep partners for a bit this year in Kitchener, and you know, he's a good guy. Obviously, look up to him. He teaches me a lot of things about the game, and good guy on and off the ice.
Giovanni, what are you looking forward to with Winnipeg Jets development camp coming up shortly?
Sorry, what was that?
Winnipeg Jets development camp is coming up shortly. What are you looking forward to?
Just going to be a good experience, I guess, in my first camp, so obviously he's going to soak it all in and enjoy it.
So Giovanni, did you have any conversations with the Jets, and what do you know about the city of Winnipeg?
I don't know too much about the city, but I talked to the Jets for at the combine right before the draft, and had a couple phone calls with them, but not too much. And about the city, I'm not really too sure. I played a tournament there once when I was younger.
Giovanni Velotti, our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, just drafted by the Winnipeg Jets, 153rd overall in the fifth round of the 2018 NHL Draft. You know, Giovanni, oftentimes players themselves are their own worst critic. If you had to step back and say, you know, this is an area that I need to work on, what would be your primary goal for this offseason in terms of bettering yourself and bettering your game?
I'd say I definitely have to get stronger. I'm working in the gym, and obviously I probably work on my shot. I don't think I use my shot enough. Those are probably two things that I got to work on.
Giovanni Velotti, our guest here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, just drafted by the Winnipeg Jets, 153rd overall in the fifth round of the 2018 NHL Draft. You know, your Kitchener Rangers had a lengthy OHL playoff run this season. How much do you think that experience helped you in your development, being able to play those games where the stakes are the highest, getting into 19 games for the Kitchener Rangers in this most recent playoffs?
Yeah, definitely. It was a great experience getting to the Western Conference Final, And obviously the games were very tough, and the series were pretty long. I think we went to Game 7 in that series, and you know, I enjoyed it. It was definitely helped me out in my development for sure.
Giovanni, who do you credit for getting to this point where you're able to hear your name announced at the 2018 NHL Draft? Obviously, family make huge sacrifices for all elite athletes like yourself. You know, parents, you know, siblings, any other sort of coaches throughout your time as a hockey player?
Yeah, definitely. Pretty much everyone that's helped me along the way. I mean, you can take little things from everyone, and obviously my family is a big part of it, and minor hockey coaches growing up, and obviously my trainer in Ottawa, Tony Greco, I'd say, he helped me a lot so far. I'd say, yeah, pretty much everyone helped me along the way.
Giovanni Velotti was drafted by the Winnipeg Jets in the fifth round of the 2018 NHL Draft. Giovanni, a hearty congratulations on this wonderful accomplishment. We'll see you in Winnipeg sooner rather than later. Thanks very much for joining us this afternoon on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
There you go. Giovanni Velotti drafted in the fifth round, and just before him, the Jets drafted Declan Chisholm at 150th overall. They're into the sixth round of the NHL draft. The Jets obviously have a pick in the sixth round and a pick in the seventh round. Let's go to break. When we come back, more from the NHL draft, more to come on the program. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
You're listening to live pick-by-pick coverage of the 2018 NHL Draft. Brought to you by Tim Hortons Coffee, Canada's favorite cup. After Lord Stanley's Cup, of course, on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca.
Saturday afternoon, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Coverage of day two of the 2018 NHL Draft continues. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined in studio by Dave Minuke. Ezra Ginsberg is here as well. Producer Chris Curry doing a great job behind the board. The Winnipeg Jets having made four selections on this second day of the NHL Draft. David Gustafsson out of Sweden, Nathan Smith out of Cedar Rapids. They also drafted Giovanni Velotti out of the Kitchener Rangers, and they also were able to select in the fifth round Declan Chisholm out of the Peterborough Petes of the Ontario Hockey League. Let's head out now to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We're pleased to welcome to the program our good friend Scott Billick. You know Scott from his work with NHL.com, with the Winnipeg Sun, and of course with NBC's Pro Hockey Talk. Scott, good afternoon, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, anytime, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're doing very well. It started off a little bit slow on this second day of the NHL draft, and then it got juiced up a little bit with that Hurricanes Flames trade, and we'll get your take on that in a few minutes. But I guess your thoughts, Scott, about what the Winnipeg Jets have done so far with regard to the four draft selections that they've made, taking a couple defensemen and a couple centermen so far.
Yeah, I mean, you know, shoring up some depth is what, you know, was expected by the Jets, given that they were, you know, not picking in the first not in the first round, but really late in the second round as well. So, I mean, at that point, you're getting guys that are two, three, maybe even 4 years out of playing in the NHL. And so they went out and got a big centerman in David Gustafsson. I think he's 6'2", nearly 200 pounds. And what I've read about him, you know, he's a good two-way center, likes to back check. He's strong and confident. Those are all the things that you want out of a centerman. So that's good. And he played, you know, as a 17-year-old last year in the Swedish Elite League and maybe didn't play a prominent role there from what I've read. Again, you know, I don't watch a lot of Swedish Elite League hockey, but from what I read, I mean, you know, he played on the fourth line and still was able to chip in the limited minutes that he had. And given where a lot of the, you know, pundits, the different lists that are out there, future considerations, the International Scouting Service, McKean's, NHL Central Scout, all those things. I mean, only one of them, I think, had him higher than where he was taken at 60th. So again, I think if you base it on that, if you base it on what they got in him as a centerman and his size and what he's said to be capable of doing, I think that was a good pick. And then obviously, you know, you go to the third round and you see Nathan Smith, and you know, you look at him, and that's an interesting one, because last year he was in the draft, he went undrafted, he was playing in high school. I think he had something like 170 points in 45 high school games. It was something ridiculous like that, some ridiculous numbers, and then doesn't go drafted. I mean, you know, makes the leap to the USHL down south there, and and still manages to put up points. And he had 47 points in 51 games, making that leap from high school hockey, where he was obviously very dominant, to a different league where, you know, he may not have, you know, he should have probably, you know, sometimes taken some time to kind of figure it out, that game and that sort of thing. But obviously came in and did a good job, and now he's headed to Minnesota State University, Mankato. And one guy, and I was talking to another reporter down south after the pick, he sent me a message and said, you know, he saw the Jets kind of highly scouting Nathan Smith. And so, it wasn't a surprising pick that the Jets were after him based on, you know, how many times he saw scouts from them out there kind of watching his progression.
Scotty, when you look at the Jets' center depth outside of the NHL, you've got some good players there. Jansen Harkins, Mason Appleton, Chase DeLeo. After that, it gets a little bit thin. Does that make sense why the Jets would draft a couple of centers here in the second and third rounds?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, just looking at it, you know, I tweeted out a list of their depth, and those two guys kind of added to it, right? I mean, you do look at their center depth, and it is what I guess, you know, what you would call a little thin, I suppose, outside of the guys that they have in the AHL. If you kind of just look at who they have as prospects, I mean, they didn't really have any other than Skylar McKenzie. Was kind of that one guy that wasn't playing in the AHL at this point. I mean, obviously Mason Appleton took a step forward this year. Jansen Harkins, we'll see how he does. Chase DeLeo, he's, you know, had a little bit of a cup of tea, but hasn't really done, you know, much so far. And then you have some unknowns, and some Terry Vertanen and Pavel Krevkowski and those guys. So I think, you know, again, the more depth you have, the better chances. I mean, it's just odds at that point, right? The numbers suggest the more that you have, hopefully, you know, for the Jets, one of these guys will, you know, end up making the NHL one day in the next few years, and kind of figure out that game and figure out his spot on an NHL roster.
So it would seem, Scott, that the Jets are drafting more for need, I would think, than best player available at this point, huh?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, especially look at those two left-handed defensemen they got in Declan Chisholm and Giovanni Velati, which is I like that name. It's just a good name. But yeah, no, I mean, I just think, you know, you got some guys. I mean, they have Sami Niku, they have Logan Stanley there. You'll know Peter Stojkovic, obviously Dave from the Moose, and then Dylan Sandberg, and then some other names there that, you know, who knows what's going to happen with them. So again, I mean, if you look at Sami Niku, he's kind of like the prime example of a late pick that now could be making a push for an NHL spot this coming year. And you know, I think that, again, both these picks were, if you looked at consensus and look at the numbers of where other people had them, some of these, you know, different scouting bureaus and stuff like that had them, all these guys were rated a lot lower than where they were picked. So, you know, some might say that the Jets are kind of working their magic again in the draft, and Kevin Cheveldayoff is just, you know, getting some good players at some, you know, getting value out of the picks that he has, kind of given where these guys are ranked.
Scott Billick of NHL.com and the Winnipeg Sun is our guest on the program. Scott, just want to make mention, we've been keeping track of Manitoban selected at the NHL draft so far. Another one, Fox from Fox Warren, Manitoba. Dawson Bartow of the Red Deer Rebels goes 168th overall to the Dallas Stars. So the fourth Manitoban goes off the board at the 2018 NHL draft. Scott, what were your thoughts on the Flames Hurricanes trade from earlier today? We finally got a significant trade after what has been a pretty quiet Friday night and early Saturday at the 2018 NHL draft.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the Hurricanes, I mean, they get quite the player in Dougie Hamilton. And I was reading a couple of tweets earlier, just talking some of the analytical stuff about Dougie Hamilton, given, you know, how good he is at puck possession and that sort of thing. And the fact that he's only 25, I think he just turned 25 this past week. And the fact that he's a big lumbering guy, he's not a slow guy, but he's a big dude, and you know, he has a presence back there. It's kind of funny for me with him. He's kind of always that guy that's available. I mean, it's weird that, you know, the Boston Bruins got rid of him, and now the Flames have gotten rid of him. But he's a good player, good contract, given, you know, what he's able to do. So I think that's a good pickup for the Carolina Hurricanes, who kind of needed that kind of stalwart back there. And the Flames get back Noah Hanifin, you know, highly touted, a defensive prospect, that sort of thing. So, I think it's probably a better trade for Carolina. They need that sort of, you know, they need good defensemen. They have some decent forwards. The goaltending situation can always be better. But, I think it was a good trade probably for both teams. It's interesting to see Swan River's Michael Furlan go the other way to Carolina. They get, Mike Furlan is, it turned to be a, you know, he was a pretty good player last year. It kind of took a step forward, I thought, just given his skill set and what he has been able to do. And so I think they get another good player in him as well. And Hanifin and Lindholm for Calgary, those are good players. But Lindholm still has to pan out, and that's kind of what this deal probably hinges on for Calgary. If Lindholm doesn't pan out, then it's probably a loss for Calgary, and we'll see how it goes. Given some time.
Scott, with the draft coming to an end here, everybody's attention is going to soon focus towards July 1st and free agency. We obviously know Paul Stastny is the big name out there, whether or not the Winnipeg Jets are going to re-sign him or not. Are you expecting the Jets to be relatively quiet, or do you think they could maybe be more active than we're expecting?
I mean, I think the Jets are pretty loud if they're able to sign Paul Stastny and get him signed. I don't know what. I've kind of looked over this. I'm in the process of writing a story about this for NBC, and I've hummed and hawed over it because I don't know what makes the most sense for the Jets in terms of, is it just like a 1 or 2 year deal to kind of slide him under some of these, bigger contract extensions that, especially the Patrick Laine extension when he gets signed long term. excuse me. I think 1 or 2 years for Stastny makes sense if they can make it work. I don't see it. I mean, I know the cap's gone up this year to $79.5 million, but I can't see it working out long term to keep Stastny. But I think you want to keep him, and I think the biggest move they can make at when free agency opens is probably locking it up for at least another year, just to make another run and give Patrick Laine and Nikolai Ehlers another, a guy who they can learn from down the middle. And that's my take on it right now. I don't think it's a long term contract if they do sign him. I'd imagine it's 1 to 2 years.
Scott, when Tobias Enstrom fell on his sword for the organization for the expansion draft, there was some talk that he would get another contract from the Jets. Looks like that's not the way it's going to go. He's told the team apparently that he's not going to return to the Jets, but he does plan on making it back to the NHL next season. Do you see him being back in the NHL, and can you see a team that he would make sense with?
That's an interesting one. I don't know who he makes sense with. I mean, you're probably looking at a younger team with a younger defensive core, for a guy who would probably play on the third pairing, maybe even the second. Maybe you could send him down to play in Arizona. I don't know. Toby is going to be a guy who wants a quieter market. So, he never one that wanted really to talk to the media here. But do I think that he could be in the NHL next season? Yeah, I think. Despite, what you might see on the ice in terms of his abilities, maybe his size, maybe getting beaten up by bigger players, I still think Toby Enstrom can move the puck. He's a good possession defenseman. He worked really well with Dustin Byfuglien. He's a good stay-at-home guy who can be responsible back there. I mean, every defenseman has some mishaps, and Toby was one of those. I had a few this year, but I don't think that he is. I don't think he's past his expiry date when it comes to an NHL defenseman. I think he could, find a place that teams would be interested in a guy who can, go out there and put up some heavy or some big minutes at times or play that mentor role. I think he's pretty good when it comes to that. Still, I don't think that. Basically what I'm saying is I think he can play in the NHL still, and I'm not entirely sure exactly what team he could go to, but my guess would be one with a young defensive core that could use a guy who's played in the NHL for a long time.
Scott Billick covers the Winnipeg Jets for NHL.com. You've read his work in the Winnipeg Sun and NBC's Pro Hockey Talk as well. Scotty, how was New York City, buddy?
Oh, man.
Have you been there before?
I'd never been there before, and it was unbelievable. The food was good. Like I've never seen a nightlife quite like that. When we got off the plane, it was around midnight. I'll keep this short, but it was around midnight, and we walked. We got to our hotel, which was kind of right next to Times Square, and we walked into Times Square, and it was like it was broad daylight out. There was tons of people everywhere. Every store was open, and that was just the first night. And then you get to see the city, and everything there is incredible. No blocks, two blocks look the same. It was unbelievable. I got to a Yankees game. Everybody knows I'm a Red Sox fan. The Yankees won. That was kind of whatever. But Yankee Stadium is very nice. I thought it was a great experience. Caught a little bit of a cold at the end of it, but pizza was good. Lots of good pizza. Lots of good deli sandwiches. There was some good stuff out there, and I'd love to go back because it's a beautiful city.
Attaboy, Scotty. Scott Billick from the Winnipeg Sun and from NHL.com. Thanks for your time today, Scotty.
Anytime, guys. Appreciate it.
Take care, Scott. Winnipeg Jets have made their sixth round selection from the Waterloo Blackhawks of the United States Hockey League. The Jets select goaltender Jared Moe. He was 23-6 with two shutouts and a 2.23 goals against average with a .919 save percentage. He's off to the University of Minnesota Golden Gophers for next season. So yet again, the Jets tapping into the resource that is the United States Hockey League. Let's head to break. When we come back, we'll do more on the Jets' most recent selection, more on the other selections, and more on the NHL draft. Rumors abound that there's a trade about to be consummated between the Montreal Canadiens and the San Jose Sharks. We'll see if that comes to fruition. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
You're listening to live pick-by-pick coverage of a 2018 NHL Draft. Brought to you by Tim Hortons Coffee, Canada's favorite cup. After Lord Stanley's Cup, of course, on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca.
Saturday afternoon, continuing coverage of the 2018 NHL Draft. We are into the seventh round now of the draft. In case you missed it, the Jets in the sixth round draft a goaltender from Waterloo of the United States Hockey League. Jared Moe is his name. He's a commit to the University of Minnesota, the Golden Gophers. Obviously, he'll have a friend in Blake Wheeler early on in the Winnipeg Jets organization. He's a 6'3", so he's got the height that you're looking for in a 21st century NHL goaltender, 205 pounds. So obviously, anybody in the sixth round here is a prospect. Jared Moe going to the Winnipeg Jets in the sixth round of the NHL draft. We are now into the seventh round of the draft. So one selection left for the Winnipeg Jets. It comes at pick number 215, barring something unforeseen as it pertains to a trade. Speaking of trades, there was some scuttlebutt moving over Twitter that Max Pacioretty may be on his way to the San Jose Sharks. Appears as though there is no validity to that trade. So right now, Max Pacioretty, a guy who's had his name bandied about in many different trade rumors over the past, going back to the trade deadline, still appears to be a member of the Montreal Canadiens. No truth that he was imminently about to be dealt to the San Jose Sharks. There was one big trade today so far at the NHL draft. That was between the Carolina Hurricanes and the Calgary Flames. The Calgary Flames acquire Elias Lindholm and Noah Hanifin, and instead they give up to the Carolina Hurricanes defenseman Dougie Hamilton, Adam Fox, who's an unsigned prospect playing with Harvard in U.S. college hockey, and Manitoba's own Michael Ferland. Lot going on. It took a little while to get going, but here we are. We're into the seventh round of the NHL draft thus far here on TSN 1290.
I'm trying to figure out if it flies by more here or if it does when we're usually at the draft, because it's pretty chaotic right now.
Yeah, I mean, it was quiet for the first, certainly up until the Jets' first selection of the second round. That was at number 60 when they took David Gustafsson out of Sweden. It was quiet then, and then it all hit sort of when that Carolina-Calgary trade happened, because the Jets had their two back-to-back fifth-round selections, 150, Declan Chisholm, the defenseman out of Peterborough, and then Giovanni Velotti, the defenseman replacement out of Kitchener at 153. So that's when things really started to pick up here as we're winding down our draft coverage on this Saturday afternoon. Ezzy, you've been at all the drafts. What's it like? What's it been like for you being here as opposed to being in the arena covering the event live on location?
Yeah, it's definitely different. Another note on the Dougie Hamilton trade, what I find kind of humorous about the trade is that he was traded back at the 2015 NHL draft in Florida. So he's been traded twice at the draft. If you remember correctly, he was traded from the Boston Bruins to the Calgary Flames for a couple of second-round picks. So obviously the NHL draft has been a bit of a different type of animal for him.
Yeah, he might not. He doesn't have as many fond draft memories so far. He's got the fond memory. He's got three. One of being drafted, that was good. Then two potentially of being traded, maybe less good. But I guess that depends on beauty.
There's still memories.
Eye of the beholder. Yeah, memories certainly. You know, let's talk about that, Ezzy. Dougie Hamilton is a guy who you watch him play, and he's well regarded. A lot of people like the game that he produces. He's certainly got a lot of talent. Yet he's on to his third NHL franchise in not a very long time being in the league. Why do you think that is? Why is Dougie Hamilton bounced around more than you would expect for a guy who is ostensibly a top pairing defenseman?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I have the answer for that. And we talked about it earlier. You know, he's a right shot defenseman as opposed to Noah Hanifin, who's a left shot defenseman. And, you know, the Calgary Flames are obviously a team that is coming off a very disappointing season. And the expectations were sky high for the Calgary Flames. They brought in Mike Smith, obviously, to shore up their goaltending. And, you know, I don't have the answer to that question. And, you know, the Carolina Hurricanes, obviously, their strength is on defense. And now they get even stronger on that right side. And they obviously have some good young defensemen coming up through the system. Jake Bean, Hayden Fleury, Justin Falk is obviously their top pairing defenseman. But it's a little bit hard to understand why Dougie Hamilton has been traded this many times and he's only 25 years old.
Yeah, it's a little bit bizarre. Another quick update. We've been talking about Manitobans who've been drafted. As you'd mentioned him earlier on in the program, Matthew Thiessen of the Steinbach Pistons has just gone to the Vancouver Canucks with the 192nd draft pick in this 2018 NHL draft. He joins Jet Wu, who was also selected by the Vancouver Canucks. So two Manitobans heading to Vancouver to join fellow Manitoba Brendan Leipsic, who was already acquired by the Canucks earlier on during the 2017-18 NHL season. So a big Manitoban contingent heading to Vancouver to try and assist with the rebuild of the Canucks organization.
It sounds like the folks in Vancouver think the Manitoba Moose are still their farm club.
That's clever there, Dave. Did you think about that one just now, or did you have it in the holster from a while back?
How would I know that they would go this hard in Manitoba style?
You would have no idea whatsoever. Anyway, so good on Matthew Thiessen. He joins, of course, Jet Wu, who was selected by the Canucks. I mentioned that Kalen Addison was selected by the Pittsburgh Penguins. Riley Stotts was selected by the Toronto Maple Leafs, and Dawson Bartow was selected by the Dallas Stars. So a lot of accomplishments for Manitobans and Manitoba hockey today at the 2018 NHL draft.
Matthew Thiessen's committed to play for the University of Maine Black Bears this year. He had an incredible year for Steinbach in the Manitoba Junior Hockey League. Save percentage was .923, goals against 2.06, so many scouts thought he'd go higher than that, but obviously, you know, great that he was drafted by the Canucks today.
Now that the draft is pretty much winding down and we're down to, you know, the seventh round selection here, so the Jets will have their one pick coming up in a few more selections as the seventh round goes pretty quickly here. You know, we're only about a week away, 8 days away from free agency now. That's really where the Jets were expected to have most of their focus on them. No one expected a lot from the Jets at this draft, given that they didn't have a first round selection that was traded to Paul Stastny, given that, you know, this was a team that doesn't need immediate help. This is a team that's looking to restock some of the cupboard of prospects after so many great draft picks have graduated to the NHL. We know about the litany of RFAs the Jets have to try and re-sign, or at least make moves with. We know about the Paul Stastny situation, that he's an unrestricted free agent. What's priority number one for Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff over the next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, as the NHL shifts out of draft mode and shifts towards free agency mode?
Yeah, I don't know if there is a number one priority for the Jets. When you look at Patrick Laine, they might sign him to an 8-year contract. Connor Hellebuck is obviously a big one. And, you know, I'd have to believe that Paul Stastny is right up there as far as the number one priority for the Jets, just considering the impact that he had after he was acquired from St. Louis.
Let me ask you this, Dave. We've talked a lot about Paul Stastny really since the Jets season ended. He had a tremendous impact for the team when they brought him over from St. Louis. He seemed to fit very well with Patrick Laine and with Nikolaj Ehlers as that sort of as that second line center, you know, bumping Brian Little down to a third line center role. Given the tone of conversation, given the comments that various people have made, given the comments that Kevin Cheveldayoff has made, do you think the Jets have made it more of a priority to get him under contract, even at the expense of having to ship out some money? Or do you think it's at the same level it was when the season ended?
That's a good question. I'm trying to think of my
Jacob Trouba is obviously a big priority as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. You've got a bunch of guys that you have to get done. But the reality is that they saw the success that Paul Stastny had with Nikolaj Ehlers and Patrick Laine. And clearly that fit with Brian Little wasn't to the same degree. Mm-hmm. But if you have Brian Little playing with Matthew Perreault and whomever else on the wing, maybe Joel Armia or Jack Roslovic, the fact is that, you know, can you afford to have that much money down the middle? Maybe, I don't know. But look, the reality is that I think that they saw what Paul Stastny was able to bring with this team since he was acquired after the trade deadline. And if they get a full year out of that, or 2 years or 3 years, as this is their window perhaps to really challenge for a Stanley Cup, I can't see this not being their number one priority.
Ezzy, your thoughts on Dave's answer to that question? Same question posed to you is, you know, have you, reading between the lines, maybe looking at, you know, subtle comments, subtle messages, do you think the Jets have made getting Paul Stastny or retaining Paul Stastny more of a priority?
Yeah, it's hard to say because the Jets are obviously coming off a year in which they exceeded expectations, right? And mm-hmm. we expected the Jets to be a playoff team this year. And when you talk about Connor Hellebuck and you talk about Jacob Trouba, it's tough to prioritize one over the other, right? I mean, who's more important to sign? I mean, what's the answer to that? I don't think anyone really has the answer to that, right? So I think all of these players are important. And then you throw in Blake Wheeler, who's entering the last year of his contract. So, I mean, Kevin Cheveldayoff has a lot of work to do here when you talk about Connor Hellebuck and you talk about Jacob Trouba. Paul Stastny, I think we all expect the Jets have a good chance at signing him. So it's going to be a very interesting next couple of weeks here.
It certainly will be interesting. It'll probably be almost one of the most interesting off seasons. Probably, well, certainly the Trouba contract dispute was interesting. But remember, I mean, it wasn't that many years ago where the Jets had to get Little, Wheeler, and Ladd all under contract in that same off season, and that was, you know, a fascinating off season. So, I mean, this was sort of a. It was a different NHL draft for the Jets, obviously, given everything we've talked about, given the lack of a first-round pick, given that, you know, this isn't a team that's looking to make the leap anymore. This is a team that made the leap, and now the focus shifts to that free agency window, to the salary cap discussions. I mean, did the salary cap go up enough with the announcement earlier this week to sort of let the Jets breathe a little bit, to give them a little bit of breathing room? Or is it just sort of probably right around where they expected and it doesn't really change the dynamic too much?
Well, I posted that on illegalcurve.com earlier in the week, just looking at what they've got. And right now they've got 14 players signed around $54 million allotted. So I think they've got about a $25 million, and they got, I think, about $3.7 million in bonus money that has to be paid out. So you've got a lot of money still tied up. And again, you know, I mean, obviously Patrick Laine, his deal isn't going to kick into the following year, so mm-hmm. he'll still be in that first, in the last year of his ELC. But still, I mean, there's a lot of money, and as he just touched on, you've got Blake Wheeler to still think about, you've got Kyle Connor to still think about, you know. So there's expectations. So I mean, look, if Paul Stastny is willing to do something on the short term, possible. Otherwise, you have to start thinking about moving out money.
Andy Strickland, friend of the program, came out with a report that he heard that Stastny's two sort of primary destinations, or
the top of the list,
both Winnipeg and, I believe, Colorado, returning back to where he was before the St. Louis Blues. That makes sense to you? I mean, the Colorado Avalanche are a team right now, given the moves that they've made, you know, this at the draft, their acquisition of Philip Grubauer to pair him with Semyon Varlamov. I mean, they were a playoff team last year, and they really gave the Nashville Predators, I would say, all they can handle. It seems like they've done a lot of good work, I would say, so far this offseason, and that they've maybe taken a step in the Central Division or taken a step in the Western Conference.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's really tough to say whether or not the Jets are going to re-sign Paul Stastny, and I think you would throw in some other teams in there as well. Montreal has obviously been mentioned as a team. It's possible that Paul Stastny might go back to St. Louis, even though, you know, you'd think that that wasn't going to happen after they traded him to Winnipeg. So, you know, I think a lot of Jets fans are hoping that the Jets are able to re-sign Paul Stastny. But when you're talking about Paul Stastny, I mean, you're talking about a legitimate second-line center who plays an excellent two-way game. And if it turns out that another team is offering him more money, then it's always possible he won't return. But all reports are that Paul Stastny has enjoyed his time in Winnipeg, and the Jets have said on the record that they want to bring him back. So, you know, we're going to have to wait and see what happens here. But you know, certainly the Jets would be much stronger with Stastny up the middle.
All we can say is Paul Stastny's enjoyed post-trade weather in Winnipeg. He hasn't been subjected to the December, January, Februarys that we here on the Prairies love so much. But at the same time, and to Ezzie's point, I think it's about winning. And I think the reality is his money, he's going to make a lot of money wherever he goes. And I think that for him, what I've heard the talk is making, giving him a best chance to win a Stanley Cup.
Well, that certainly sounds very Winnipeg-like, you know, in terms of getting all the way to the Western Conference Final. It'll be interesting. I mean, the money's got to be right. I mean, if we've learned anything over the years in our coverage of the NHL, as much as winning matters, the right contract, the right fit also matters just the same. Another Manitoban has been drafted in the 7th round. Jermaine Loewen of the Kamloops Blazers was just selected. I don't actually have the team. Yeah, he was selected by the Dallas Stars. So the Dallas Stars double up when it comes to selecting Manitobans. They take Jermaine Loewen in the 7th round, number 199. He plays for the Kamloops Blazers of the Western Hockey League. And Dawson Bartow of Fox Warren, Manitoba, was taken also by the Stars at number 168. So 7 Manitobans drafted thus far in the 2018 NHL draft. Let's head to break. When we come back, we're going to, we're going to come back and do another couple segments maybe, try and get Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff off on with us before we wrap up coverage on this Saturday afternoon. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Live coverage of the 2018 NHL Draft continues on TSN Radio 1290.
You're listening to live pick-by-pick coverage of the 2018 NHL Draft. Brought to you by Tim Hortons Coffee, Canada's favorite cup. After Lord Stanley's Cup, of course. On TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca.
We're into overtime here with our 2018 NHL Draft coverage. Drew Mindell, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you. We are the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You're listening to TSN 1290. We've been keeping track of the Manitobans that have been drafted so far. Our apologies to Joel Hofer, a goaltender with the Swift Current Broncos. He slipped under the radar. He was taken in the 4th round by the St. Louis Blues. So congratulations to Joel Hofer. He makes it, crazy eights now when it comes to 8 Manitobans having been drafted in this 2018 NHL draft. The Jets, I believe, are still about to make the final pick, or seven away still. I can't believe that's taking this seventh round has taken a surprisingly lengthy time.
This is the point of the draft where it's like everybody's ready to go home.
Yeah,
90% of the crowd has already left the building.
Yeah,
but you have these teams just kind of like snailing along and just waiting to see if they're going to do any last things. But the reality is just like submit your pick. Make your best guess, because at this point, that's what it is.
Make your best guess is absolutely right. We'd mentioned Max Pacioretty already earlier. There was some scuttlebutt that he was going to be traded to San Jose. That hasn't occurred. No signs that that's going to occur. But interesting that he's decided to, at this crucial moment, change his representation. He's no longer with Pat Brisson. He's now with Alan Walsh. So that's not a trade that you typically hear. Not a trade between organizations.
He literally did it today?
It sounds like it's coming out. Whether or not it officially happened today or if it happened over the last 24, 48, 72 hours. But a recent change to Max Pacioretty and his representation, leaving agent Pat Brisson and now being represented by the vocal one. Let's call him. Is that fair? The vocal one, Alan Walsh.
I like Alan Walsh.
Yeah, he's certainly vocal, right?
Yeah, he's got an opinion.
He's got an opinion on that. So anyways, a little bit of insider information there, a little bit of inside hockey sort of information as it pertains to representation.
You know what's interesting about Max Pacioretty being rumored to be going to the San Jose Sharks? The San Jose Sharks just acquired Mike Hoffman. What position is he? Left wing.
Yes.
What position is Evander Kane? Left wing.
Yes.
So, I mean, if they did have Kane, Hoffman, Pacioretty on the left wing, that's pretty dangerous.
Well, Hoffman, of course, flipped to Florida right afterwards.
Oh, sorry, I forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, there's been a lot going on, so you're absolutely right. I mean, what do you think about that move? Let me ask you that. We talked about the Hoffman leaving, you know, leaving Ottawa, and as you made a point.
That's probably why they're after Pacioretty.
Yeah. Well, then why wouldn't you just hold on to Hoffman? I know there's the dressing room questions and everything else, but San Jose is a pretty free-spirited organization with a guy like Brent Burns. I mean, Evander Kane is a big personality. Joe Thornton's a big personality.
One thing's for sure. Pacioretty's going to be traded.
It seems like a foregone conclusion. It's been talked about for so many months in a row now that it'd be hard to believe that he doesn't get dealt.
Who's going to score goals in Montreal?
I don't know what they're doing.
Is Carey Price able to score goals as?
Who's going to be the next captain of Montreal?
Well, it doesn't matter. That person's inevitably going to get traded as well because the Habs trade all of their captains. You know, the Habs are an organization. I mean, look, Ottawa was an organization that was certainly in a little bit of disarray entering this draft week, the Mike Hoffman, the Erik Karlsson, everything else. And they're certainly not out of the woods yet. But if you can explain to me what the Montreal Canadiens are doing, and, I mean, are they expecting Jesperi Kotkaniemi to step right into their lineup next year?
I think that's why they drafted him. They knew that he wouldn't be in the lineup for at least a couple of years.
So, I mean, what are they doing? Are they just trying to bottom out to get Jack Hughes? I mean, you have Carey Price. You have nobody to score for them. Max Domi, I mean, you know, nobody liked that trade of Alex Galchenyuk for Max Domi.
Yeah, there is a chance that Montreal just decides to retool the whole thing.
You know, I just can't explain it, what the Montreal Canadiens are doing. You heard that, you know, maybe they were in the running for Ryan O'Reilly, you know, that they desired John Tavares. Well, John Tavares isn't going to go to Montreal with the organization in its current state. It's just been a bewildering number of years for the Montreal Canadiens under Marc Bergevin, and it goes back to the trade of PK Subban for Shea Weber. Since then, it's just been puzzling decision after puzzling decision.
That is a good question. Where are they going? I don't have the answer to that, and I don't think a lot of Montreal Canadiens fans know where this organization is going, because when you talk about Alex Galchenyuk for Max Domi, does Max Domi make the Montreal Canadiens that much better? And I'm not saying that Max Domi isn't a great hockey player, but when you're talking about Galchenyuk, you're talking about a 30-goal, 60-point former third overall pick, right? And Max Domi, sure, he had a bad year last year. Arizona wasn't a very good team. Not saying that Max Domi isn't as good as Galchenyuk, but their weakness is up the middle, and Max Domi is a natural winger, even though he's played a little bit of center, not much. So the Montreal Canadiens need a center. I agree with you, Drew. I don't think John Tavares is going to the Montreal Canadiens. I think he's going to another team. It might be the Islanders. He might be staying in Brooklyn on Long Island, but Montreal needs to be better up the middle. I mean, that's where they have the glaring weakness.
Mm-hmm.
You could argue they need another top four defenseman.
Yeah.
And you have to be concerned with Shea Weber's health if you're the Montreal Canadiens. Shea Weber's an excellent defenseman, and Victor Mete's a good young prospect they have. He played at times on the top pair for the Montreal Canadiens, but Carl Alzner hasn't worked out. I think at this point in career, he's more of a third-pairing defenseman. So the Montreal Canadiens, I don't think, are in a rebuild. I don't think it's tank time for the Montreal Canadiens. When you have Carey Price, arguably still a top-five goaltender in the league, when you have Shea Weber, when you have veteran players like this, I mean, the Montreal Canadiens are not a young team. I mean, sure, they're going to get younger here. They've already started to get younger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jonathan Drouin is still in his early 20s here, but I think this is a team that still has to be aiming for the playoffs.
And further to Ezzy's point, we had Marc Dumont on last week, and one of the things we talked about was the Laval Rocket, their farm team. And there's very little in the pipeline in terms of their AHL team. Now, they may have some more prospects that I'm unaware of that are playing in junior or overseas or in college, but the fact of the matter is that right now, in terms of the guys that they have in Laval, it's very thin, and Laval was the worst team in the AHL last season. So, I mean, when you don't have those guys to be able to draw up to play for your organization, and you don't necessarily have the next generation ready to go in the pipeline, that doesn't spell a lot of success for your franchise.
If you're Carey Price, you signed that mega extension with the Montreal Canadiens, you're making $10.5 million a season. You want to be in a position where you're competing for the Stanley Cup. You're clearly not with Montreal. I mean, best case scenario, if everything was to turn out to be absolute gravy, you're probably looking at an average playoff team, and I don't even think they're that. If you're Carey Price, you have to be a little bit upset, a little bit dismayed with the length and commitment you've made to the organization when all the pieces are crumbling around you to no fault of your own.
I see what you're saying, Drew, but I don't know if I agree with that because I don't think Carey Price saw this coming.
Right.
I don't think anybody in Montreal saw this coming. Just how bad they were last year. I don't disagree as far as I didn't have the Montreal Canadiens as a Stanley Cup contender, but I certainly thought they'd be a playoff team, and now they've traded Alex Galchenyuk. They might trade Max Pacioretty. I mean, if you said that a couple of years ago, that they would be trading their captain, I think people would say you're crazy just because he's such a good goal scorer and he's been such a big part of your franchise for so long. So I see what your point is with Carey Price. I mean, Carey Price didn't see it going like this when he signed the contract. I think he saw better times ahead. But right now, I agree with you. The way this is going for the Montreal Canadiens, at best, maybe they sneak into the playoffs next year.
Yeah.
But I don't think that there's any move they can make that's all of a sudden going to make them a cup contender.
I agree with everything you just said. I think that's what must be so perplexing and so difficult for fans of the Montreal Canadiens to handle right now is that the team is what I'll describe as rudderless. You know, they're not bottoming out. As you know, a team in their position probably should be, and they can't because they have an all-world goaltender signed to a mega contract. You need to be able to score in the NHL to be, you know, to be a legitimate threat. They can't do that. I mean, you know, they're a worse version of the Los Angeles Kings in that the Kings have a stud defenseman in Drew Doughty. Now, Drew Doughty's better than Shea Weber, but, you know, that's worse a worse defenseman than Drew Doughty. That would be Shea Weber. You know, Jonathan Quick and Carey Price, whatever you think of each of them as goaltenders. I mean, Carey Price probably with a better defense in front of him. I mean, Carey Price is still an excellent goaltender, so maybe you say that's a wash. But there's nobody in the Canadiens forward group that can match Andrei Kopitar, that can match Jeff Carter, that can match, I mean, you know, whatever you think Ilya Kovalchuk is going to bring to the table now that he's a member of the Kings. And, you know, even if they get John Tavares, well, that changes the dynamic of the Kings altogether.
Right. We've talked a lot about how Montreal needs a center, but goes back to what I said before. I'd expect a center to be part of the deal for Max Pacioretty, but if they go into the season next year with the same group of defensemen, you have to get the puck up to your forwards.
Yeah.
And this just isn't a very mobile group of defensemen. I mean, talked about Victor Mete. He's 19 years old. I mean, Shea Weber is not exactly what you would call a puck-rushing defenseman. He's got that big booming shot from the point, but he's more of a stay-at-home defenseman at this point in his career.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you go up and down the lineup. Jeff Petrie, you know, he's got some offensive ability, but Carl Alzner, he's more of a defensive defenseman. So even if the Canadiens are able to land, let's say, a Ryan O'Reilly, I still think Marc Bergevin needs to make a move and bring in another top four defenseman.
I agree. I mean, it's just a bizarre situation, a bizarre circumstance with what's going on in Montreal. Dave, quickly.
The Jets are on the clock, so I don't think we have a pick yet, but they are up. Tampa Bay just took someone, and Winnipeg is on the clock.
Winnipeg is on the clock, so why don't we head to break? We'll come back. We'll bring you the Jets' seventh round pick, their final selection in this 2018 NHL draft. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
You're listening to live pick-by-pick coverage of the 2018 NHL Draft. Brought to you by Tim Hortons Coffee, Canada's favorite cup. After Lord Stanley's Cup, of course, on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca.
The 2018 NHL Draft has concluded. The Winnipeg Jets, with their final selection,
Austin Wong.
That was a player everybody had the Jets taking 215th. Overall,
that's who you had in your seven round.
I didn't want to say anything.
Draft.
I didn't want to say anything, but in my seven round mock draft, that's exactly who I have just taking.
Austin Wong is a centerman. He plays for Okotoks of the Alberta Junior Hockey League. He is an 18-year-old, or he will be an 18-year-old come August the 26th. So Austin Wong, of the Okotoks in the Alberta Junior Hockey League is the Jets' selection. He took he put up some points there, 54 points in 55 league games, if I'm reading this correctly. So the Jets have taken him with the seventh round selection in the 2018 NHL draft.
Drew, this from Chris Peters, good friend of the show, writes for ESPN.com. He said, one of my favorite live viewings all year at the CJHL Prospects game. Human wrecking ball, despite not being overly big, and he produces two. Just an interesting guy. Long shot maybe, but incredible motor. That's from Chris Peters of ESPN.com on the Jets' seventh round pick.
So some heady praise for the Jets' seventh round selection. A full day of selections for the Winnipeg Jets. Let's recap them, why don't we? The Jets obviously had nothing in the first round today. They started their draft picks in the second round at number 60 overall. David Gustafsson comes from Sweden. He's a centerman who plays for HV71 in Sweden. He was drafted by the Jets 60th overall in the second round. The Jets' first pick of the 2018 NHL draft. Moving into the third round, the Jets selected from Cedar Rapids, the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders of the United States Hockey League, Nathan Smith. He's originally from Florida. He went to play in the USHL. A 5'11" centerman. The Jets take him at 91st overall in the third round. No fourth round pick for the Jets. That was traded to the Montreal Canadiens at the trade deadline. So the Jets did not pick, of course, in the fourth round, leading to two fifth-round picks. The first acquired from the Boston Bruins last year, or 2 years ago, pardon me, in exchange for Drew Stafford. That was a trade deadline acquisition by the Bruins. The Jets used that
technically
pick.
It was a six. It was a conditional.
It was a conditional pick that moved to fifth if they re-signed him, is that, or if they made
the
playoffs?
No, they made the playoffs and he played 50% of the games.
There you go. So the Drew Stafford, it was a Drew Stafford used, the Jets used that pick from trading Drew Stafford to take Declan Chisholm out of the Peterborough Petes of the Ontario Hockey League, a 6-foot-tall defenseman. Three picks later, at number 153 overall, the Jets stick with a defenseman from the Ontario Hockey League. That's from the Kitchener Rangers. Giovanni Velotti was the selection for the Winnipeg Jets at number 153. In the sixth round, the Jets go to a goaltender. They've had success in drafting late-round goaltenders before. Some guy named Connor Hellebuck was a late-round goaltender selection. Jared Moe goes in the sixth round to the Winnipeg Jets. He played in the United States Hockey League for Waterloo. He's committed to go to the University of Minnesota Golden Gophers. 6'3", 205 pounds. So certainly a bigger goaltender. That's all the rage nowadays in the NHL. Jared Moe goes to the Jets at that point in time. And then to wrap it all up, in the seventh round, the third last pick overall, number 215 from Okotoks of the Alberta Junior Hockey League, Austin Wong, a centerman, is who the Jets draft at that point in time. So heavy on the centerman, heavy on the defenseman, with a goaltender thrown in there for good cause. They make up the Winnipeg Jets 2018 NHL draft selections. Your thoughts overall, Mr. Ginsburg? I'm not going to ask you to break down these guys in detail. That wouldn't really be fair to you. But just your thoughts on the Jets draft, your thoughts on the 2018 NHL draft in general.
Yeah, as you mentioned earlier in the program, Drew, really rare that the Jets don't have a first-round pick, but that's a good thing because they went far in the playoffs this year. But when you're talking about these players, I think there's some good value there. And you mentioned, of the six draft picks today, the Jets got three centers. David Gustafsson, I think, is the most fascinating of these picks, and that's because of his size and of his two-way game and his potential. And I think when you're talking about some of these other players, Declan Chisholm, Giovanni Velotti, we had them on the program as well. And, you know, we don't know as much about these players, but, you know, going back to the goaltenders, you mentioned Connor Hellebuck was a fifth-round pick. You know, The last few drafts the Jets have drafted goaltenders late, you're talking about Mikhail Berdan, you're talking about Arvid Holm last year. So don't know much about Jared Moe right now, but the Jets have hit on some of these late round. Because when you're talking about Mikhail Berdan, he's actually looked really good in his viewings here, and he has a bright pro career here in front of him. So it's really hard right now to assess a lot of these players, especially some of the later round players. But when you look at, you know, the defensemen they drafted and some of the centers they've drafted, a lot of promising young players here.
Dave, your thoughts, just an overarching thought about the 2018 NHL draft and the Jets themselves?
Well, one thing I liked is that they've drafted centers and left shooting defensemen. I think that's probably their biggest organizational need. And with the Jets, especially with some of these younger guys, we've seen it. Mason Appleton, he played center in junior and in the USHL, but he's been playing on the wing with the Manitoba Moose. We've also seen Jack Roslovic, who played center primarily with the Moose, move over to the wing. So a lot of these guys, they may have played center and they may be drafted as centers, but the fact is that, you know, they have the versatility to play both positions. But better for the Jets that they have that natural tendency to be centers, because of course that gives you a luxury that you may not have if you have a dearth of centers. So, and again, left shooting defenseman, another advantage for the Jets, because it's not something they have a ton of in the organization.
Yeah, it really, I think you can sort of look at this draft as just an opportunity for the Jets to try and restock the cupboard. I mean, obviously they hope that these players will pan out and that these players will you know, come to fruition as bona fide NHLers. But we know that as it pertains to draft picks, that's a rarity more than it is a regular occurrence. But the Jets and the amateur scouting staff have had a good reputation. And, you know, obviously we'd be lying to say that we're going to say that you can't grade a draft at this point in time.
There's absolutely no value.
Especially when it comes to a team that doesn't have a first-round selection. You can say that, you know, in the first round, you know, some guys maybe get taken a little bit sooner than you think. But anybody who's going to tell you that the Jets draft is an A or a B or a C or an F or anything along those lines right now, I would take that with a very large grain of salt.
Well, and keep in mind, Sammy Niku was a seventh rounder in 2015. Mason Appleton was a sixth rounder. Now, both of those players could play full-time roles for the Jets next year. Might not happen for both of those players. So when you think about some of these guys that were drafted, you know, whether that's Declan Chisholm in the fifth round or you're talking about their second round pick.
Yeah.
These guys could be in the NHL 2-3 years from now.
There's absolutely no way of knowing, because you're absolutely right, Ezzy. You mentioned Sammy.
Well, it's possible they might not be in the NHL, but, I mean, the Jets have drafted very well, as Dave just mentioned. We just gave two examples. I mean, there's lots of other examples for the Jets. Connor Hellebuck, fifth round pick. He just was a runner-up for the Vezina Trophy.
Yeah.
So don't be surprised if the Jets have hit on some of these players here.
It is such a crapshoot. I mean, you're trying to formulate an educated guess. That's basically what you're doing when it comes to the NHL draft. Going back, moving away from the Jets, let's say, going to the first round that occurred yesterday, because that's where the players have the most notoriety. What do you think happened in the first round? Anything you liked more than anything else?
Two teams that definitely stand out. We talked about these two teams in the first round. But it's got to be the Detroit Red Wings and the New York Islanders. You know, Detroit getting Joe Valeno 30th overall and then getting Filip Zadina 6th overall. They stand out to me.
You know, let's head to the hotline. I believe we are pleased to welcome in Winnipeg Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Winnipeg Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff, you're on with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew Mindell, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you in studio here at TSN 1290. I guess another NHL draft in the books, a different one for you and for the organization with no first-round pick. Just as a general conversation, how would you evaluate this 2018 draft?
Well, first of all, very lonely because I'm used to talking to you guys back at the rink here. So where are you?
We'll be there in Vancouver next year. You have our word.
Perfect, perfect. No, thanks very much for having me on here. It's you know, obviously, you know, it's a little different when you sit through, you know, day one of the draft. But, you know, again, the guys were very antsy and very anxious to get at it. But, again, fortunately, you're picking 60, which, you know, has some good implications to it. But you have to wait for a while to get to that. But as it all started to unfold beyond the second round, you know, there's, you know, lots of different things that we feel, you know, very, very excited about adding to our depth chart and our organization.
Chevy, I don't know if you'll tell us this, but was there any chance for the Jets to move up here either in the second round or the first round?
No, not so much in the second round. First round, you know, again, with a pick at 60, you don't really have the currency to get into the first round with just 60 alone. So if it was going to be anything like that, it would have been a Jets roster players that would have. So and even still, there was again, as you've seen, there wasn't a lot of movement in that regard. There was some options as the draft unfolds, like it always does, to move up or down or maybe into the fourth round. But once we discussed it through, the guys, the way the list was unfolding and the way the picks were coming off the board, we felt good about just sticking with the selections that we had in order.
And Kevin, we know that you guys have the list made up well in advance, but when you're going through that list and you see the players that the Jets drafted, there were a lot of centers and you had a lot of left shooting defensemen. So is that more of an organizational need, or is that still best player available at that point?
Yeah, no, it's the best player. When it comes to defensemen, though, like we kind of take the shot out of the equation for sure. We don't. It's not about left or right at that point in time. You're drafting the best player, so we were fortunate that there wasn't a lot of debate about where things were at on our list, with respect to what was coming up, at our pick, and it unfolded, it unfolded nicely for us at the table.
Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff joins us from Dallas. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. Kevin, David Gustafson is the first selection for the Jets, number 60 overall in the second round. What appealed to you and to the amateur scouting team around you that made him the guy that the Jets were going to choose in the second round?
So his hockey sense is exceptional, and you can see it on display when he's playing at the men's elite level already. At the National Hockey League, Swedish Hockey League level. But for a young player to contribute as he has, and have the confidence of the coaches as he has in a men's league at that age, that speaks volumes to how he needs to can play. He's there's going to be a development path, for him, no question about it, with respect to getting stronger, and getting quicker. But that's part of the process here of drafting 18-year-olds, and we're excited to get him at the pick that we did.
Kevin, when the amateur scouting staff are making their final decisions, how much do they factor in where a player is going to play next year? Because obviously David Gustafsson is going to play in the Swedish League next year. I don't think anybody expects him to step right into the NHL next year, but how much does that factor in terms of if a player is going to play a couple of years in college hockey or another year in the Swedish League or situations like that?
So it factors in, quite extensively in the sense that you need to make sure that they're in a good development path. Now, if they're in kind of one where they're not going to play, certainly with a goaltender where, you need him to be in a development path that, he's going to get games, those are important things. So there's lots of those conversations that are had. And again, sometimes when you're talking about, like in Gustafsson's case, sometimes you're taking a player from Europe, and you're sitting there going, okay, I sure hope that they can play, in the elite league next year or get enough minutes. Whereas, in this situation here, there's a tremendous comfort level that, he's going to play minutes and he's going to develop. And, over the course of time, he'll eventually migrate over here to North America and we'll see where he's at that point.
Kevin, I know the draft is literally just ended, but, you have a prospect camp coming up. Do you anticipate most of these players will be at the prospect camp in Winnipeg this week?
I think so. I'll know a little bit more once I, get a debrief here from the player development side of it. But, we've had conversations, with all the players that, that haven't been, aren't at the draft here. And in Gustafsson's case, he's here. So certainly, there's an opportunity there. So again, I do believe that'll be the case, but I don't have that on 100% authority yet.
Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff, our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. Kevin, now that the draft is in the rearview mirror, albeit just ended, as we said minutes ago, obviously your attention has to shift to the free agency, the RFAs, the UFAs. Have you begun significant conversations just yet, or are you sort of just in the feeling out process with some of the RFAs and UFAs? I mean, the interview window opportunity opens tomorrow. Do you expect to be busy with that, with any of the pending UFAs?
Obviously we've had, conversations with, the pending UFAs agents as we are allowed to because we own them type thing. But, again, the there's never really just one facet that you're focusing on at all times. Certainly when you're at the table here, it's the draft. But, you know, when you're, you know, away from the table or anything like that, there's lots of conversations that go on. You know, there's when you have, you know, every agent in the business and every team in the business, you're always stealing away a few minutes here and there, you know, to have different discussions and advance, you know, the conversations, you know, in that regard.
Kevin, last one for you, and we always appreciate your time. You know, coming into the draft, the expectation was that it might be a wild and woolly one, a lot of trades, a lot of player transactions. Didn't really come to fruition. Are you surprised with how quiet it ended up being both last night and today?
Not really. You know, again, there is lots of conversation, you know, be it moving, you know, into the first round if you don't have it and different things like that, but you know, again, when you see, like, and I can only speculate as I was thinking about it there last night as it all started to unfold, and I'm watching our list at the table, and I'm seeing, you know, picks going where, you know, we have them in different places than what they're getting picked on the board. And I can only assume that, you know, the other, you know, 30 teams had a wildly diverse, you know, list as well. So when you start getting into that, and you probably have players that are higher on your list than maybe someone else's, you know, that excitement level to draft versus, you know, trade the pick to someone else or trade down or whatever, you know, kind of goes away. It's what kind of you're here for is to draft. So not surprised, you know, that there's a lot of conversation. But again, there's lots of conversation that happens here where, you know, maybe the seeds of something else happen down the road.
Winnipeg Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff. Chevy, thanks for joining us this afternoon. We'll let you, presumably tip back a cold one or two now that the draft is over, and we'll talk to you again real soon as free agency heats up.
Sounds great. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it. Well, boys, it's been 4.5 hours. It's been a little bit chaos, but that concludes our 2018 coverage of the NHL draft here on TSN 1290. Want to give big thanks to all of the guests who joined us this Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon. All the audio will be available on our website, illegalcurve.com, as well as tsn1290.ca. Special props goes out to Chris Curry, doing a great job producing this program. Alongside Dave Manouk and Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. We thank you very much for joining us. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. Stay tuned for World Cup Soccer joined in progress here on your home of the Winnipeg Jets, TSN Radio 1290.